As we continue in our series, focusing on the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we're talking about everyone's favorite part today, patience. Yeah, that's what I expected. That was the response I thought we'd have. Yeah, I mean, I know everybody not only loves to hear this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, but they just love anytime there's a message on patience. It's everybody's favorite topic, right? No, not really. I think that's because for a lot of us, patience is that very slippery thing that we just can't seem to hang on to. We're reminded daily, most of us, multiple times and in multiple ways, about how much more of it we need, right? For example, the slow checkout line. That's one of my personal favorites. You go to Walmart or Kroger, and you spy the empty line. Or maybe one with a line with just one person. They're almost done. And you're, you know, behind several people in yours, so you make the strategic choice. I'm going to go over into that empty line, or the one that's very short, and I'll get out of here in no time. And it immediately becomes the slowest line in the entire store. It's as if there's a hidden camera with a, you know, one of those hidden camera shows. Let's see if they prove themselves to be Christian or not. It's incredible. It happens just about all the time. Or slow internet, you know, or the slow buffering of the movie or show you're streaming. That's what we do now. Some of us, myself included, remember how it used to be with dial-up internet. You guys remember the dial-up where it had that wonderful screeching noise every time you'd get on the internet? And you had to wait for that, and you couldn't get on the internet if someone was on the phone. You had to wait unless you had a dedicated line, and I mean, who did that? You had to have you had to wait for the line, the phone line, to be free to get on the internet, and then to load one page to hear that wonderful sound and statement, "You've got mail." You had to wait forever. I mean, you were there like a half hour waiting for that to load. Now, with high-speed internet, if it takes longer than 5 seconds, we get really frustrated. We say, "What is going on with this internet?" You know, and we're all been out of shape. Or maybe this is your favorite, waiting at the DMV. The DMV might just be God's patience workshop. It's the proving ground. It's terrible, absolutely terrible. And there's more and more we could go, you know, down through a list. Waiting in the doctor's office, how fun that is. Waiting for the check-in at the airport. I mean, there's so many things in life that try our patience and show that we really lack in it. But that's not those things that I just, you know, described, our day-to-day experiences with patience. That's really not what Paul was pointing to when he included patience in the list of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And remember, this is singular fruit. These are not fruits. This is the fruit of the Spirit, and each of these specific virtues are aspects or facets of the one fruit. And so when Paul included patience as one of those aspects, he wasn't talking about our frustration in the grocery store and the line or the slow internet or the waiting in the doctor's office. That's not what he meant by that word. So in the Greek, our English word patience in the original Greek that he wrote this in was makrothumia. Makrothumia. And it actually means long-tempered or long-suffering. And maybe some of your translations will refer to that. And the idea is having a really, really long fuse. Not a short fuse, a long fuse, that it's going to take a long time for ignition and explosion. That's kind of the visual behind that. It's where we actually get our English word macro, you know, like the macro versus micro, zoomed way out versus tiny and detailed. It's the long view. Patience is referring to that. It's this long endurance. You don't just have this short fuse and you blow. It's kind of taking a long view of things, long view of life, long view of the situation that you're in, long view of circumstances, macrothumia. It's not just waiting. It's actually the ability to endure incredibly difficult people and incredibly difficult situations without losing it, without giving in to anger, without giving up hope, without reacting violently and in anger and hostility, you know, not blowing a gasket. It's the ability to hold up and to endure the situation you're in that's difficult, or to endure the people that are causing you grief and pain. It's really the idea of what people have when they are persecuted, when they're going through persecution or intense opposition, under affliction. So big deals, rough things, hard circumstances and situations, and it's enduring those things, keeping your composure, not just reacting harshly and losing it or giving up hope. And like all the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that we've already considered and will consider that make up this incredible, very profound list, God is not only the source of this virtue, but he is the perfect example of it. He is the perfect example of being long-tempered, long-suffering, long-fused, macrothumia. So I want to have you focus just a little bit on God's patience. Let's look to him as the ultimate and perfect example of what Paul is talking about. God as the God of patience, and that's certainly what he is. In the Old Testament, Psalm 103, verse 8, we read this: "The Lord," that's Yahweh, "is merciful and gracious, slow to anger," picture that long fuse, that slow burning fuse, "and abounding in steadfast love." The Lord God, Yahweh, is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That's another way of looking at patience. It's steadfast. It holds on. And that's what God is. That's who he is. And that word slow to anger, it's actually what God revealed of himself to Moses. When he passed by Moses, Moses was on the mountain and he said, "I just want to see you." And God said, "Well, you can't see me face to face because you won't live. That's how holy I am and how unholy you are. But I'll do this. I'll hide you in the rock. I'll pass by and I'll declare my name before you." And he did that. He said, "Yahweh, Yahweh, the God that is slow to anger." And that's what David is referring to here in this psalm: slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And the word slow to anger in the Hebrew, that's what the Old Testament is written in, the word there is erech apaim, erech apaim. And it literally means, that's why you have this image here, that's not a version of Pinocchio, that's probably what you think of when you see that image of this person with this incredibly long nose. You think lying, you think Pinocchio. That's not the point of this image. It actually literally means long of nose, specifically long of nostrils. That's what's so great about the Hebrew language. It's very visually focused. So what this word means in the Hebrew, and what the Hebrew language points to, and what the Jewish people would say when they talked about being slow to anger, you know, long of nose, long of nostrils, it's this image of someone when you do this probably when you get really, really mad. I mean, and you're just blowing steam. You actually physically react, right, when you're angry enough, and you're just kind of inhale and your nose kind of shrinks up and your nostrils flare and they kind of, you know, recede a little bit. And the contrast being slow to anger is your nostrils remain long. So long of nose, long of nostrils, not you know, breathing in violently and your nose just kind of shriveling up in anger. It's long nose, long nostril, calm. That's what this is saying about God. This is God's patience. He's slow to anger. He's long of nose, long of nostrils. He's not getting all hyperventilating in anger. Same chapter, a few verses down, Psalm 103, verses 13 through 14. I love these verses. This continues to point to God's patience and how incredible that is. And this is how he exhibits and displays that patience to us. Here's what it says: as a father shows compassion to his children, which fathers we need to do. We need to really make sure that's what defines us. Sometimes it's harder than others, and we need to make sure, though, that with God's help we do that. So as a father should show compassion to his children, so the Lord, Yahweh, God, shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. Isn't that great? I love that. He knows our frame. He knows us inside and out. He knows how we really are. He knows the real us. He knows our limitations. He knows our weakness. He knows our frailty. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. I am so thankful for that. He shows compassion. He remembers, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He meets us there. He meets us where we're at. He loves us in our own limitations and frailty. He's compassionate toward us. And we see examples of this again and again throughout Scripture. Think of how God is with the nation of Israel. My goodness, you read the Old Testament, you see how they were, how God was. I mean, he is the epitome of patience, long of nose with them, compassionate, merciful, again and again and again. Even in his judgment, even in the times he judges, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's compassionate. All the times throughout Israel's history where you read those things and you're just astounded. Like, how did they survive? How are they even still a nation? Well, because God is long of nose. He's patient. And there's all kinds of individuals that you can look at through Scripture and see patience, patience, patience. God is patient. Over and over again. I mean, we would be here a long, long time listing all the specific examples in Scripture of how God was so patient with his people. But much more personal, there are examples of that again and again and again throughout your life and throughout mine. We don't have to just look to Scripture to see examples of God's patience. Just look in the mirror. Look at your own life. Look at your story. I mean, if we would go around the room and give examples of how patient God has been with you, we would be here until next Memorial Day weekend. Just think about that. All the ways in your own life and your own story, your personal context, that God is overwhelmingly patient with you. It's astounding. The patience of God, it is unparalleled. There's just no equal to his patience. Think about all the times and all the ways that God has been long of nostril, long of nose, long-tempered patient with you. What does that mean for us? What should that do to us? What should the result of his patience be? Well, as God's people, we should take the patience we receive and give that to others. In other words, God's people, which I hope you're one of today, God's people should be patient with others. It should mark and define our lives because of how patient God is with us. Not because people might deserve patience, not because they are patient with us. That's not the standard. Just like with love and loving other people, because we are loved so much by God, we love other people. Our love towards others is a result of his love toward us. We've already talked about love in this series. The same thing is true of patience. I should be patient with you, and you should be patient with me, not because we earned that. It's really because of how God is so patient with us. And we have no excuse not to be patient with other people, considering how patient God is with us. It's a direct result. And here's what I mean by that from God's word. Here's what that has to say about our being patient with others. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. This is our demonstrating patience toward other people. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, Paul writes this, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." And here's how we do that. Here's how we actually walk in a manner worthy. Here's what defines our walk. "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." You'll see that there's some other of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned there in Galatians 5 that we've already covered. But that's how we do it. That's how we are patient with other people. That's what that looks like. That we're humble, we're gentle, and that we exhibit patience, makrothumia, bearing with one another in love. Now, this is not easy to do at all, and this is not natural to us. This does not happen automatically. This isn't intrinsic to us. This is not easy, especially with some people that are in our lives and that we're around. I mean, we all have those people that just know how to push every single one of our buttons, right? You have that, those people. Maybe you're living with those people. It's possible. Depending on the week, depending on the day, depending on the hour, we can all be those people that grate on every last nerve of the other person. We're good at that. And so this, what we just read here in Ephesians 4, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, that long fuse, long-tempered, long-suffering, that's not easy to do. But it is one of our mandates. We don't get an out just because it's not easy. We don't get excused because of the people that are around us in our sphere of living. We aren't able to say, "Okay, God, I hear this, I see this, but come on, you know who I'm talking about here. You know who I'm supposed to show patience toward, and you know how they are. Can I get a pass?" No. God doesn't give us a pass because someone is just so difficult to be patient with. This is our mandate, one of many mandates as Christians. This is what it means to be a Christian. It's to be patient with other people, despite it being incredibly difficult. And I want to give you a specific, very practical example of how to do that, how to be patient with other people, what that actually does look like, or what it should look like in our lives. James 1:19-20. James 1:19-20. This is a very specific example of how to exercise patience in our relationships with other people. James 1:19-20 says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let every person," see, no excuses, no outs, no passes, "let every person be," here we go, "quick to hear." Often we're opposite of that. "Slow to speak." "Slow to anger." That's the slow burning, you know, long fuse, long temper. So many of the times, if we're honest, we do the exact opposite. We're very slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger. So much of the time, unfortunately. But that's what we're supposed to do. This is how we're supposed to apply patience in our dealings and interactions with other people. We are to pursue being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And listen, just because that might not be your default as a human, just because this might not be what's natural to you, doesn't give you an out. It doesn't mean you're excused from being this way or from being called to exhibit this. This is still your mandate. And if you're in Christ, you have the very Spirit of God, and so do I, empowering this. No, you can't do this on your own all the time. I agree with you if you're one of those people that this just does not come naturally to, that you're naturally, automatically more inclined to be slow to hear, quick to speak, quick to anger. I get that. Like, naturally speaking, yes, that's how a lot of us are, but that doesn't mean it's okay. And that doesn't mean, oh, well, that's just the way I am. I mean, how many times have you heard that excuse? How many times have you given that excuse? This is just the way I am. I can't help it. I can't change. It's who I am. It's just part of my makeup. Well, that's all good and well if you're an unbeliever. If you're not in Christ, sure, that excuse works. You have no ability to be anything other than what you are naturally. But when you come to Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 comes into play. If anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. In other words, the you used to be before Christ is not what dominates you at that point. The BC, the before Christ of your life, is not the same person as you are after Christ. And when you are in Christ, he gives you the Holy Spirit, God himself, to enable and empower your new way of living, which means every one of us has the resource that we need to do what James says right here. We can be quick to hear. We can be slow to speak. We can be slow to get angry. It's possible. Not in ourselves, but through the Spirit that is in us. And so we don't have an excuse. And then he tells us why that's important. Last part there in verse 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And that every true believer will have these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about being produced in our lives, right? Produce. It's going to come. It's going to happen. The Spirit will produce these things. Well, in contrast to what the Spirit does, the anger of man, the natural human anger, that does not produce the righteousness of God. It does not produce any of the fruit of the Spirit. So we are to reject the anger that comes maybe naturally to us and to embrace what the Spirit provides. Patience. And we often think about spiritual fruit, and especially the aspect of patience, we often, I think of it like fast food. But God is a gardener, not a drive-through. That's what we need to alter our thinking in. How many times have you kind of, you've prayed for patience from God, but it's almost like you're saying, God, give me patience now. Hurry up about it. I mean, it's as if we know we need patience, so we ask God, and then we check our phone to see if he gave it to us yet. Okay, do I have it yet? Do I have it? Huh? I mean, we treat God like the drive-through window. And then we get mad if it doesn't come right, you know, right then and there. God, I need patience. I know I need it. So yeah, I'll take a dose of patience and then I'll take, you know, a smaller side of it on, you know, in addition. I mean, give it to me now. I need it now, right now, right now. God, where is it? I need patience. Why aren't you giving it to me? That's how we act so many times. But God is a gardener. He's deliberate. He is patient, and he's careful, and he's intentional. He's ordered. He's not random and sporadic and chaotic. He's very deliberate. He takes his time. He's not like a drive-thru. We need to understand that. And the reason that he's not like that is because patience is cultivated, and it has to be cultivated. Patience is cultivated, not instantly created. Patience is cultivated, not instantly created. And the process of patience, you know this as well as I do, often the process to perfect patience in us is full of pain. Full of pain. It's a very painful process many, many times. But that's the way God works. It's here a little, there a little. He plants a little, tends it, lets that grow, and he plants some more. It's a very methodical way that he deals with us and creates what he wants to be in us, what we need to have in our life. He's very patient with us, and he's also patient in how that is produced. It's process driven, not immediate action most of the time. Sometimes he does that, but most of the time it's very methodical, and it's here a little and there a little. And that's just the way he works. And with that in mind, I want to draw you to one more passage of Scripture that really kind of highlights this cultivation, this patient work of God to develop the patience in us, the fact that it is very much a process. James 5, 7 through 8. James, once again, is challenging us, and he says this, "Be patient," and it's the same Greek word as in Galatians 5, makrothumia. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." Gotta love that. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. Well, when's that coming? It's like the answer that God would give to that, I think, is when it comes. When are you coming, Jesus? When I come. That's when I'll come. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer," see, there's that analogy, cultivating, process, methodical, not instant. We are so much an instant gratification culture. The microwave, I think, it's very convenient, but it's also possibly one of the worst things that happened to humanity, because now if anything takes longer, you know, than a minute or two, it's like the world is ending. Microwaves and high-speed internet and, you know, our smartphones, I mean, they have conditioned us to the immediate, to the right now, and they do us a great disservice because we don't even know how to be patient anymore with anything. But if you look at a farmer, you look at a gardener, they have to be patient. It's all about patience. The whole process is patience. None of the things that they plant or produce happen immediately. It's the process of getting things ready to receive what you plant, and then you plant it, and then you have to tend it and cultivate it, and then finally, after a long period of time, then you're ready to harvest. That's what James is pointing to. See how the farmer, look at the farmer. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waits for it, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains, which, by the way, the farmer has no control of. Once the farmer gets his field ready, once he does the job of planting it, tending it, that's really it. Then it's up to, you know, do we get enough rain? Do we have too much rain? Is it too cold? What's the climate like? What's the weather doing? And nobody's in control of that. And it's really the same thing with patience. We pursue it. We prepare our hearts and our minds daily for it. We apply the work of the Spirit. But it's really God, it is the Spirit that produces that in us. He's the one that produces it. He's the one that cultivates it. We can't generate it on our own, just like any of the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. I can't love with agape love on my own. You know, I can't have the true joy that lasts on my own. I can't generate that. I can't generate the peace that surpasses all understanding. All of those things have to come from God in me that I yield to. I surrender to his work to produce those things in me. And the same thing is true with patience. You and I just can't generate that on our own. God has to be the one to produce it and cultivate it. And so even to have the patience we need, we have to be patient. You see what I mean? You have to be patient about the process to get patience. And that's what James is saying. You also, verse 8. So just like the farmer has to be patient with his produce, you also be patient. Establish your hearts. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So in verse 7, be patient until the coming of the Lord. And it, as if to keep us from despairing, verse 8, he says, but hey, relax. It is coming. It's coming. It's going to happen. It's at hand. It's according to his time frame, but it's at hand. And I want to encourage you to think of it that way too. No, we don't know, when our Savior returns. We don't know the day and the hour, but we do know it's going to happen. It's an absolute assured reality. Just as his first advent was absolutely a historical fact and reality, just as his resurrection was undeniable, that points ahead to the fact that his return will also be just as factual. It's going to happen. It's already a done deal. You can take that to the bank. But until then, while we're still on this side of eternity, until he calls us home from this life through the doorway of death, or until he does come and receive us, we have to pursue patience. And it is possible. You have all the resource and the enablement that you could need. So do I. It's about applying it. It's about yielding to it. It's choosing, I'm not going to give in to what is natural to me, which is impatience. I'm going to choose to give in to the Spirit inside me who works patience in me and who will produce it. He's faithful to do it. So I want to leave you just with this question. What specific area in your life, I mean specific, do you need to cultivate more patience? And I want you to sit with that. I want you to leave with that. I want you to take that to God. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, who is the producer of patience in you. I want you to ask him, Holy Spirit, please make it clear to me. Show me what you already know, which is the areas in my life that I am really lacking patience in. Reveal that to me and please help me to be patient in those areas, in those ways. Maybe it's a person that you need to be more patient with. Maybe you have lost your patience with this person or this group of people multiple times, and what you need to do before you develop more patience with them is you need to go to them and actually say, will you forgive me, please? I have been so impatient with you. That was wrong. That's not of the Spirit. That's of the flesh, and I ask your forgiveness. That will go a long way towards developing the patience you need with them. But the lack of forgiveness and the offense against them is a huge obstacle to having the patience that you need. So whatever it may be, that's my challenge. Take some time today, beginning of the week, and actually ask God to show you how you need to be more patient, the areas specifically where that's needed. And then give that to him. Say, okay, God, I hear you. I accept that. I give this to you. Please, Holy Spirit, empower more patience in this way. Empower more patience toward this person. And guess what? He will do it. He'll be faithful to do it. I can personally attest to that. he'll do it. So let's be people of patience, church, just like we are to be people of peace, people of joy, people of love. This is what needs to define us as Christians. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that though we fail again and again and again, you are patient with us. Thank you so much. But Father, help us to be more patient than we are. It's a process. It's not immediate. It's something that's cultivated. It's not instantly created. But it is what we're called to. It's what we're called to have. So please help us to do so. Help us to pursue the patience that your Spirit wants to produce in us and that he will. Reveal to us, please, the specific areas that we are lacking patience in, the specific people that we are not patient toward as we should be, and then help us to make the change by your Spirit's power. Thank you that this is not up to us. Thank you that we're not in this alone. Thank you for giving us your Spirit, Father, to empower this patience in us. May we reflect your patience. As you are patient with us, may we be patient with other people. And the world will not be able to help seeing a difference in our lives from the way they are. May that be our testimony, a testimony of patience. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.